Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Welcome to the Coco Express Show for a Saturday, March 19th, 2011, and I'm your host, Aurelia Lyles, and I'm passing the baton over to Steve Duncanson for our monthly segment, Paradigm Shifters, Principles for Life and Success.
Paradigm Shifters, Principles for Life and Success, hosted by motivationalist Steve Duncanson. Start framing your tomorrows today.
Good afternoon, Aurelia.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, all of our listeners who are out there as well. It's my pleasure once again to be able to be with you with this segment. Aurelia, how are you today?
I'm fine. Fighting a bug, but I'm fine.
All right, key is you're fighting it. That's the operative word. That's what you want to be able to do. Well, I always look forward to this time as quickly as it comes up on me. Time seems like it flies very quickly, but when it's all said and done, it's certainly definitely time well invested, not spent, but time well invested. Thank you for the opportunity, and those of you, our listeners, for being here with us. So in the spirit of moving this forward with clarity, I think one of the principles, because we often talk about, obviously, principles on this program, and one of those has to do with the value of repetition. Like, repetition is the mother of skill. So the more we repeat information, the greater likelihood we will remember it, and the likelihood we remember it increases the likelihood that we will use it. And that's what we want to be able to do, not just get information for information's sake, but to be able to utilize that information. So last month, Aurelia, when we started out, you had you gave us a recap by sharing some things that were going on in your life and your experience and how you connected it. Now, I don't know if you're able to do that today, but it would certainly be beneficial for our listeners and for me, actually, if we can do a recap from last month. So
sure. No problem. I can do that for you. The last time we discussed the overview, we went over the goal setting steps, the seven steps of goal setting, and I told you about my wonderful jump rope routine that I was going to implement. And it's so funny. We also discussed the baseball diamond, which is, you know, first base decision, second base dedication or action, third base discipline, and home base is accountability.
Yes.
Okay. Now, if I use the same concept of the jump rope theory, I can tell you that I did decide to do it, and I was dedicated to doing it, and I was out there doing it. And I hear
however coming. But, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, however, in the process of doing this, I was, you know, I saw things starting to come around and shape up and start to look good, but I injured myself.
Okay, all right.
So I had to reformulate my plan. So we talked about the master list, the monthly list, the weekly list, and the daily list. So incorporating all of that, I had to make modifications to my master list in regards to my exercise regimen. So I had to start all over again. The first base was to decide what other exercises I could do that would also benefit me if I can't do the jump rope.
Okay.
So then I had to put these exercises into action and dedicate myself to doing them. And actually doing them. And every day I had to modify my list because of the fact that if it causes a little discomfort on a particular area, I couldn't do it. So I modified the list to incorporate other things. So therefore, I've kind of like been using all of your principles that you've been giving us. And I also implemented the 10-90 rule as well. I did the 10% of planning and the 90% of the execution.
Well, good. You know, as last time, your experiences really bring light and give life to the principles themselves. And the aspect of starting over, even if you messed up, is fine. You know, thankfully, you know, wasn't it great, you know, the God of the universe in his infinite wisdom didn't give us time in one lump sum. I mean, he gave it to us a second at a time because he knew, what if we had all the time and just, I mean, we'd have blown it. Right?
Yep.
So he gives it to us 1 second at a time. Of course, we have to be accountable for that second. But the reality is if we mess up along the way or if we fall off, that we go back and start over and continue to be able to work our plan. That translates into, like you said, taking things from our master list to the monthly, weekly, daily list. And if you have to push it forward from 1 week to the next, you do that. The key is, are you making progress? Progress is the name of the game. And ultimately, again, it's not where you are, it's where you're headed. It's not the direction, it's not, you know, because along the way, we're going to have challenges. That's to be expected. There are going to be obstacles. There's going to be things that we're going to try to do that is going to be impacted by a level of uncomfortability. What we know as well is that growth never takes place in our comfort zone. If we're going to grow, we're going to become who we need to become. It's going to necessitate the willingness to engage that uncomfortable feeling, to start over again and apply ourselves towards the outcome. Again, that's the whole aspect of what goals are about. It's a target that you put out there that you plan to hit and figure out, you know, what do I need to do to hit it? But you have to have that commitment to that thing, you know, and which really leads us a little bit into what we're going to be talking about here today. That has to do with values and goals, the connection between values and goals. I mean, one of the most important characteristics of leaders and the most successful people in any area of life is that they know who they are, what they believe in, and what they stand for. And the reality is this, it's that we live life from the inside out. Some time ago, I'm sure I mentioned the law of correspondence. And the law of correspondence says, again, as it is within, so it is without. Your inner world creates your outer world. So the very core of who we are is our values. And so what are values? Values are what's most important to us in life. Values are what drive us in life. We're setting these goals. And in order for us to be continue to be energized towards those goals, they have to be congruent with our values. Does that make sense to you?
It does make a lot of sense.
Because if we set a goal for something that we really that's not really important to us, the energy to complete it isn't necessarily there to get us through the obstacles, to cause us to try over again. But it has to become critically important. So knowing the thing that's really most important to us in life, and I believe that Brian Tracy and many others really give some great understanding to how that works. And Brian even puts it in the context of some concentric circles that would radiate out. And then, of course, values would be at the very core. They're at the center. But then our values determine your beliefs. In other words, if you have positive values such as, you know, love, compassion, generosity, then what you believe about people, what you believe about the world is going to be affected by that. Our beliefs then determine our expectations. And we can put our beliefs or our thoughts, and though they aren't synonymous, we can use them synonymously here in this context, that they determine our expectations. And do you expect good or do you expect ill? Would be based on your beliefs, which is connected with your values. Those expectations then are what create our attitudes. Because like when you expect that you're going to be having a good day, your attitude toward that day is reflective, right? You know, attitude is an outward expression of an inward happening. And an interesting thing about attitudes, and John Maxwell in his book on The Winning Attitude expresses it. He said, attitude is the advancement of our true selves. means your attitude shows up before you do. I tell people all the time, have you ever had that experience where you can sometimes, you can feel somebody coming before you actually saw them?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
And so what we're feeling is their energy or their attitude. But one's attitude is based on one's expectations. If you expect for good to take place, for it to be positive, then that's going to be reflective in what your attitudes are. And we know, of course, that our attitudes will impact our actions. I learned some years ago from a gentleman by the name of Dr. Edwin Luce Cole. He said the attitude determines approach, and approach then determines success or failure. What your attitude is towards the thing, not necessarily what the thing is itself, what the challenge is. It's what your attitude is towards that thing. But all of it can be linked, ultimately, to one's values. Anything to jump out to you or should
yeah.
I stop?
Okay, no, well, you know, it's funny because you know how women interact with one another.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've heard.
Yeah. I heard that little mm.
Continue.
And so you know that sometimes some women perceive other women as having an attitude by the way that they come into a room or whatever the case may be. For instance, I was once interviewing a young lady for a receptionist spot,
mm-hmm.
and before she came to the waiting room and she was sitting and they were letting me know that she was there, everyone said, oh, she has an attitude. And I'm like, how do you know she has an attitude? Oh, you could just see it.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm like, but you're judging somebody. And I was under the impression perhaps they had an attitude and they were perceiving their attitude onto this person.
Oh, okay. They're projecting it in some way, shape,
mm-hmm.
or form.
Yeah.
Certainly that's possible. I mean, one can't discount that given the circumstances. You know, nobody knows. But I think that what's undeniable is that the person's attitude may have been based on the expectations of who you are or the job opportunity, and those expectations were based on their belief in themselves, how competent they may feel. And that had to do with values, their ability to prepare themselves for this opportunity. I mean, whether you look at it from the core or whether you look at it from the outside of the in, the same thing exists.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly what the values are, it becomes critically important. And ensuring that, you know, we got to be sure that what we're pursuing is what we want. And mm-hmm. the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, Dr. Covey talks about that. He says, be sure that as you scramble up the ladder of success, it's leaning against the right wall, right?
Yeah.
So as you're scrambling up the ladder of success, make sure it's leaning against the right wall. In other words, is what you're pursuing what's really important to you? Some people from day to day, they're pursuing whether it is money or even an occupation, simply because someone else said they should or because it pays the most. Again, it's the money motivation. But they're pursuing this thing. And then when they reach the pinnacle of it, they succeeded. They, you know, quote, unquote, succeeded. It's like, geez, this is not what I want at all.
Have you see that a lot.
Oh, absolutely. And a friend of mine who said that her father was an attorney. His father was an attorney. So you know where I'm going with this, right? So
mm-hmm.
She went to school to study law, a very bright individual. And clearly, you know, through the college and then got a job in working for a corporate, in corporate law and pursued that, but was not very happy. Because when it's all said and done, that's not what she wanted to do. She wanted to run a daycare center.
Is she running a daycare center?
Yeah, today she's running a daycare center at a tremendous loss financially, but the appeal is the greater quality of life because ultimately success for her and the core value was not simply following my father's footsteps and making money in corporate law. It was impacting the hearts and minds of young people. That's really what she wanted to do and felt the opportunity and ability to be able to do that more directly with the daycare center than in law. So, again, it causes us to really think about what is it that I'm pursuing? What is it that I'm supposed to be doing? And I want to take a just a little bit of slant on that, though it is connected. What is it that I'm supposed to be doing? Just this past week, I was watching a program, and a gentleman named Mike Murdoch, he was talking about something called the law of place. The law of place. And, of course, you know, we've, from the very outset, we started talking about principles for life and success. So this one's called the law of place. And the essence of the law of place says this. It says, where you are matters as much as who you are. And where you are matters as much as who you are. Feel this. Right? So everything and everyone that's created was created with an invisible assignment. We often refer to it as purpose. Purpose is the why behind the what. And each of us was created with a specific purpose. Anything created with a purpose has also the potential or the ability to fulfill that purpose. Right? So a car manufacturer does not make a car that they say want to go 200 miles an hour unless they put in the engine that would cause it to be able to be the case. Does this make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does make a lot of sense.
The reality is that the fact that we are all here, there's something that we have just a proclivity for, a natural internal passion for. There's something that people oftentimes compliment us about, they ask us to do, that it doesn't require as much energy. We innately know how or have the desire to move in that direction. That's what we're supposed to be doing, as opposed to many different things that we could do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so the key is figuring out not simply what I want to do, what is it that I'm really supposed to be doing? Because here's the deal, right? When you are where you belong, you have no rivals. No one can compete with you when you're in the place that you belong. There's no need to have to jostle or jockey or compete against anyone else when you are where you are, supposed to be. And you can feel confident in that if you're pursuing what you're supposed to be pursuing. And here's the other reality, something that he said. He said, your prosperity is waiting for you at the place of your assignment.
Mm-hmm.
Your prosperity. And let's look at prosperity not only as it relates to finance. In any way that you would define prosperity, it's waiting for you at the place of your assignment. And you know, so someone's goal may be to get married. I'm just saying that could be somebody's goal. That's another segment that I'm sure you have other speakers that will talk about. Okay.
Why you keep not going back there? Because you keep going to relationships and
okay.
What's on your mind?
Anyway, so this person that you're looking for is in the place that you're supposed to be. Just let me say that again. The person that you're looking for is in the place that you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever gone somewhere and met someone and think like, wow, how fortuitous. Wow, it's quote unquote lucky we met. No. Because when you find something in a place that you're supposed to be, that lets you know you're in the right place. Murdoch expressed it this way. He said, provision is the confirmation that you're in the place of your assignment. The fact that what you need is there means that you're where you're supposed to be. Where you're supposed to be, pursuing what you're supposed to pursue. Again, and I know we're getting a little deeper than we normally do, you know, from week to month to month, but I just wanted us to really think about that whole aspect. Is what you've set your sights on, that you have your goals for, what you're supposed to be pursuing,
mm-hmm.
is it reflective of your values? Are you congruent inside and out regarding that thing?
That's very interesting.
Yeah, please continue. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting because, you know, a lot of times I mean, you see it. You have children, and you also have a daughter who's a college graduate, and you see oftentimes whenever a student goes into college, they immediately, and I've gone through it myself, they change their major time and time again.
Yes.
They're so busy trying to figure out what it is that they want to do, and half the time they graduate with a degree that they're not even happy with.
There you go. Perfect example. All right, so we set an educational goal. I'm going to get a degree in this. But you find it's hard to sit down and study. Reading about it, you're falling asleep, right? You make all kinds of excuses why you can't do it because you're not really congruent inside yourself with that goal because it doesn't reflect a true value for you. And so being able to discover that, and again, once again, and the key is some of the hints to it are, what would you do for free? Right? What would you, no one has to tell you to do that you would spend your time doing? And what you often complimented about, people ask you for, you find to be simple. You know, there are many times, you know, my passion is leadership development. And sometimes I find myself reading articles and I'm very much enjoying it. And I may share with my daughter or one of my friends, and when I'm reading, they're like, what? Oh, please, I can't believe that you have to sit down and read that. You must be kidding, right? But when that thing excites you to that degree, again, it's reflective of a core value of yours. And as you work in that area, it doesn't seem like work at all. Remember Mark Twain said, work is what the body's not obliged to do. Play is what the body's obliged to do. So if you make your work play, you'll never have to work a day in your life. And I feel like that's what I've been doing, playing. But part of that is figuring out not simply what can I do, because there are a lot of different things that we can do. What should I be doing? What's the most important thing? What are my true values regarding what it is that I'm pursuing? And if that can't be connected with your goal, that could be part of the reason why you find a challenge achieving that thing. But, again, just encouraging everyone that is listening to that whole aspect of, you know, values clarification, you know, requires that you think through what is really important in your life. And the thing about values is that I think Socrates said, they said that the unexamined life is not worth living. And so, go ahead, please.
Oh, no. Well, I was just thinking, I remember a couple of years ago, I had a colleague, and they were a successful attorney, and they gave it all up to become a dog walker.
And to you and I, that's like, are you kidding me?
Yes, right. But she was so happy. So excited, and she's a very successful dog walker, and she's making, you know, a comparable salary. However, but, you know, when she wanted to tell her parents, you know, I'm going to stop practicing law and I'm going to become a dog walker, they completely thought that they were going to have to come over and put the straitjacket on her.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't, so that's reflective of, you know, sometimes people don't understand your goals. They don't understand what you're looking to accomplish. That's why, you know, this whole aspect of being clear on our goals and being in alignment really allows you to develop self-confidence, self-respect, personal pride, right? Because you're able to know that you can trust yourself. You build that up when you make a decision based on a core value. Your superconscious says that, hey, yeah, I can trust me.
Okay.
And because you can trust you can be congruent within yourself and realize more happiness as you move forward in the various things that you pursue in life. You know? Now, how can you tell what your values really are? Right? You always demonstrate your true values in your actions, especially under pressure. Let me say that again. Question is, how do you know what your true values are? You always demonstrate your true values in your actions, and especially your actions under pressure. So you say that an individual says that they value education. The opportunity, and so you recognize it necessitates studying. But the opportunity comes for you to hang out or watch a television program instead of studying. Your true value is not the education. Your true value is that television program, entertainment rather than education.
Or if you want to really, really apply pressure to it, let's just say you have a full scholarship and something happens and you lose your scholarship. If your true value is education, you will find a way to continue your education.
There you go. Good, good. I think there's so many different examples of this self-same thing, but the reality is we can't say that something is a value for us, and then we can't really put energy towards it. I was listening to a teaching by Les Brown just this past week, and he said you can't stroll to your goal. You have to be approaching it with intentionality. Because strolling to it might require some deepening of self, some extra effort, developing an ability that you don't even have yet to achieve it. Mm-hmm. And if it's really a value for you, under that pressure, you will do what's necessary to bring it into existence, make it happen.
Okay, we're coming close. We got 3 minutes.
Okay, we got 3 minutes. Let's just continue along this line. I just want us, our listeners here, to really assess for themselves, really, is it really that important to you, what you're pursuing? I think it was in the How to Win Friends and Influence People, Dale Carnegie said this. He said, tell me what gives a person his greatest feeling of importance, and I will tell you his philosophy of life. Mm-hmm. What makes you feel important? What raises your self-esteem? What increases your sense of self-respect and personal pride? These are the things that give people a sense of what your values are. Not what you say, but you do.
Okay.
We'll find out what these aspects are, and we're clear on that. These are the keys to really living life consistently from the inside out, not from the outside in, not being dictated to by situations or circumstances, but having the internal fire, that passion, that drive to achieve the things that we say that we want because it's congruent with who we really are on the inside, our values. Ultimately, when it's said and done, achieving the things that we want to achieve, many goals that our listeners may have written down over time, what it requires to make that happen is really a deepening of self, the clarity of our values. If it's something that we really want, then we'll do what's necessary to bring it into existence. Mouthful. Don't tell me I have you speechless. No way.
No, you don't have me speechless. But I'm sitting here and reevaluating some things and thinking about my own personal life, and there are some things that I really need to adjust. And I'm glad we're having this conversation today because I'm going to make some changes for real.
That's excellent. Mm-hmm. You know, the last thing I just want to put out there is this, and again, Brian expresses it this way. He says, whenever you are forced to choose between one behavior and another, you will always act consistent with what is most important and valuable to you at that moment. One more time. Whenever you are forced to choose between one behavior or another, you will always act consistent with what is most important and valuable to you at that moment.
Okay.
Values clarification is absolutely necessary.
Okay. Well, Steve, I'm telling you, I think that this was probably one of the most, how can I put it? It hit home for me, okay?
Good. Okay. All right.
One hit home for me and everything, so I know that I got some stuff I got to do when I get off air. I really got some homework I really have to put to work. And I want to thank you so much for taking the time out to do this. This is very important, and it's necessary, because with the world being the way it is, we really have to make some changes. Thanks again.
My pleasure.
Okay. So that's our show for today. Have a great one. Thanks.
That's our show for today. So until next time, keep it real, listen, learn, and live.